Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, I am introducing a relatively new company to the website. I'm sure a lot of you know this company, or at least some previous iterations of the company, known as Nickel Creek Platinum. Traded on the TSX under the symbol NCP and on the OTCQB under the symbol NCPCF. Now, this company was formerly called Wellgreen Platinum. The name change happened early on in 2018. I am chatting with the CEO, Stuart Harshaw. Now, just to bring everybody up to speed, Nickel Creek Platinum is focused on the 100% owned Nickel Show project in Yukon. This project does have what's marketed as Canada's next world-class nickel sulfide mine. Now, the asset is already quite de-risked as it holds 1.8 billion pounds of nickel, 1.1 billion pounds of copper, 5.7 million ounces of platinum group metals, and 107 million pounds of cobalt, all in the measured and indicated categories. Stuart, let's start off with a little background on this Nickel Show project. Please take us through what's gone on with the project to get to this resource stage.
Yeah, certainly. It's been around since 1972. That was when Hudbay was mining. They put an adit in, and since then, it's had many different owners over the years. It's only been in the last 3 years, 4 years, where a concerted effort to prove out the metallurgy and prove out the resource. And so, what you're seeing is really the infill drilling. And then using a representative sample across the entire ore body, we did metallurgical test work out of XPS in Sudbury that proved the capability, A, from a recovery point of view for the nickel, copper, cobalt. And also it proved out the ability to produce a saleable nickel concentrate, and also the opportunity to produce a copper concentrate. That's key to economics, where nickel concentrates are excellent for nickel payables and not as high for the copper payables, and vice versa for the copper concentrate. So from an economic point of view, that de-risking has really opened up the opportunity for this project. I would say the project is well defined. It's we understand the size of the pit. We understand where we're going to put a mill, where we're going to put tailings, and fundamentally, we're at a stage where we're just waiting on the overall nickel market to improve to the point that this project becomes the next project to be built.
Now let's talk about some of the work then that the company has undertaken, especially in the near term, at least for near-term catalysts, a drill program. 12 holes, 1,300 meters. This is already completed. We do not have any of the results out yet, but I think everybody knows that the assay labs are backed up. Give us a little background on this drill program and what the goals are behind it, please.
Absolutely. The opportunity we have is approximately an 18-kilometer strike of ultramafic within our 146-square-kilometer land package that has very little drilling and very little work done on the property. The goal we have is to prove out the presence of near-surface, high-grade, massive sulfides that would change the economics of our project by allowing us to bring forward higher grade material early on in the project. To accomplish this, we did an extensive geophysics work that was done in 2019 and 2020. And this really was to look at the areas that are along our trend, which we call Arch, Quill, Burwash, are some of the other regions within our land package. And that within that geophysics, the results that we came up with over 40 electromagnetic conductors, of which we were able to prioritize 11 as having highly prospective, given some of the surface geology we've done in the area. That's really allowed us to focus our drill program. And this year we did the drill program, like you said, 12 holes. We focused in the Arch and the Burwash area. It was 6 weeks. Everything was very smoothly done, safely, and we're looking forward to presenting the results once we get them back from the analysis.
So, Stuart, was there any historic holes, or has there been any historic holes drilled at these targets that you put some holes into on this program?
Yeah, what we did is we prioritized some of the conductors that were close to some historical. There was very limited drilling that was done outside the deposit, but there is some, and most of them being shallow in nature. And we utilized that along with some historic soil geochemistry to that we had done in the areas in order to prioritize our targets.
Now, when it comes to grade, makes sense. You're looking for some higher grade near surface. Can you just remind everybody what grade the resource comes in at? Again, 1.8 billion pounds of nickel, 1.1 billion pounds of copper, 5.7 million ounces of platinum group metals, and 107 million pounds of cobalt. What are some of the grades here?
Yeah, so we're considered to be what's considered to be a low nickel grade. It's less than 1%. We actually, our average for the Wellgreen deposit is 0.26%. And yeah, on an average for the entire project, obviously we have areas that have significantly higher, massive type sulfides within that resource. The target when looking for the high grades outside is when we talk about high grade massive sulfides, you're looking at, plus 3%, well, plus, let's say plus 2%, definitely is something that would be, that can really change the economics of a project that you get a significant tonnage of higher grade nickel to start at the project off.
Now, I understand that the asset, the deposit, is quite well defined. And this drill program sounds like it is very much kind of exploration focused, looking for some new higher grade resources. Obviously, the drill results will dictate where you follow up on. But what are some of the next steps to advancing the asset here that is already well known?
The real focus that we'll have is looking at the market. The market has to be at a place where it wants the what I refer to as the lower grade nickel sulfide projects. And there's a number of them in that category. And really, that's really price. You're looking at the long-term price of nickel. We've said in the past that we need that to be, above $9 on a long-term basis. And that would be enough incentive to drive the economics for this type of project. When we are ready for that, when the market is ready for that, it's really time to go down the PFS route, a PEA and then PFS following close on the heels is how I would describe it as a process. And the reason for that is the PFS work because we've done the metallurgy, we've already achieved most of the PFS work that we need to do. So it's not a big step for us to get to that level. That would really take this project along the development curve and get us ready for the next step, the final stage, which would be the feasibility.
Okay, so continuing to then de-risk and move it forward then. Let's talk about some of the ESG aspects of this asset as well. It's come much more into investors' eyes, and it's what a lot of people are focused on now as well. What are some of the ESG developments that the company is working on for this asset?
ESG, as you know, is so critical to the mining industry. It's actually critical to all industries. There's nobody that's not got a focus on that side of it. Historically, everybody just talked about environmental in terms of what are you putting out in the air, and now the bigger focus is what is your overall impact to the world from a carbon footprint, but also just from an energy intensity, etc. What we're looking at for our project is really a focus on it's referred to as carbon sequestration. We have a serpentine as one of our main minerals that when it goes in for the tailings and it will absorb carbon dioxide. So we're actually in the process of getting the science done to prove out just what our absorption rate for carbon is in order to understand what our long-term carbon footprint is. So that's one side of it, which is really unique to these type of lower grade deposits. The other piece would be to is going to be to work with the within Yukon with both our First Nation partners, the Kewaunee First Nation, to look at opportunities for energy that is either wind-powered, solar energy projects, these type of opportunities to change the energy component for our project. Currently, we use an LNG as our base for doing this. What we would like to do is offset that with renewable energy. The Yukon is also looking at hydro power opportunities. Very difficult to know within the timelines whether that's something that will be part of our project or not. That remains to be seen. So we're going to move forward on a local basis.
Okay, let's discuss some of the other company fundamentals here, starting off with cash. How much money does the company have cash in the bank, and what's the run rate on that cash, please?
Yeah, we're sitting at the end of August, we were sitting at about 3.1 million Canadian, and that based on a run rate of about 1.6 takes us through to the end of next year, sometime in December of 2022. That's without you know, another program or anything you know in 2022. So obviously an additional financing would be required for any additional work that we're going to do next summer.
All right, share structure then. Shares outstanding, about 388 million on a fully diluted basis, 572 million. Can you provide a little bit of insights in terms of the division of where those shares are held between retail, insiders, and any large shareholders, please?
Yeah, definitely. Like, we are lucky to have some very large strategic institutional shareholders. We have about 47% of our shares are held by three key institutions led by Electrum, which owns approximately 31%. Having that strong of a share base, I would say there's an additional significant a number of shares held by high net worth individuals that hold probably in the order of another 15 to 20% of our shares, with the remainder being in the retail.
Well, Stuart, I appreciate the introduction here. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. I really am interested in what all of you, our listeners, think of some of these nickel companies that I have been bringing back on the on the show. Obviously, nickel has done quite well, but yeah, some of the stocks just continue to lag. So again, if you have any questions for Stuart on Nickel Creek Platinum or simply on the nickel markets, please just email me, fleck@kereport.com, and I will get those answered for you. Stuart, thank you for your time. Please keep us updated, especially on the back of some drill results.
Excellent. Looking forward to it.